Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great. Great to be here again on Sunday night.
It is good to be back with you to study God's Word.
Yes, amen. And boy, have we had, we've had a lot of weeks now of pretty intense stuff.
Yeah, we have.
After 9 weeks of talking about the cross, and then the last, I don't know how many, three or four weeks.
About the narrow gate.
About narrow gates and broad roads and
same.
Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord's going to come in, and yikes. This has all been, the last 2 or 3 weeks have been hard on me.
People are going to stop listening.
Ooh,
we want to hear some good news.
We want to hear some good news. Yeah, that's how Jeremiah always got in trouble. They said, dude, you're a bummer. We need a prophet that tells us good stuff.
Come on, tell us a joke. Just a joke to start off with.
Yeah, you know, the in those days, the false teachers and the false prophets all had really big congregations.
Yeah.
And maybe in our time, too. I don't know. But anyway. Yeah, and then we left off at the end of Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about you build your house on the rock or you build your house on the sand.
Right.
Yeah, and if you were with us, you remember we talked about how the rock is Christ. And when you anchor your house, you dig deep, the foundation deep into the rock, then you're secure. You have that sure foundation, that sure hope. So when the storms come, your house withstands the storm.
Right.
Or you build it on shifting sand and the wind comes and the water swirls around and pretty soon your house comes down with a crash.
Because there's nothing there to hold it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you think about it, if you try laying a foundation in sand, sand shifts whenever the tide comes in.
Yeah.
And it, you know, as soon as something strong hits it, that whatever you placed in there is going to move. It's going to shift.
Exactly.
But if you build within a solid rock, and you hone out a piece of solid rock and you put a foundation in there and something comes in and hits that rock, well, if that rock is solid, whatever hit it is probably going to crumble first before that rock does.
Then
whatever you have built in there is going to withstand that impact. And that's what Jesus is talking about.
Exactly.
You know.
And in 1 Corinthians 3:11, Paul talks about how no other foundation can be laid. I mean, any other foundation that you make for your house is not going to be secure, is not going to be the sure hope. He's the sure foundation. And in Isaiah 28:16, it says, Behold, I lay a foundation. I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a sure foundation. You know, it's a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. So this is what you got to build your house on. And apparently, Jesus implies here that there's two kinds of houses. I mean, there's, you build one house or you build the other house. And if you build your house on the rock, not only do you withstand the storm, but you have the security of knowing in the end where you're going to be, that you're going to be with him. When you have the shifting sand, you don't know where you're going to end up when the rain and the wind come in. And you know, the people on the rock are the, have the true discipleship and the true subjection to him. And even though both houses may look good from a distance, when the storm comes, then you see which house is true, which house is real. And the storms, you know, as you, we pointed out last time, it's the things that happen in life, that they're the trials of life.
Yeah.
And, you know, we live in a fallen world. You know, I tell people every day, we live in a fallen world. Say, why does this happen? Why does that guy do that? Why did this other? Well, we live in a fallen world. And if that wind is blowing and your house is on the sand, you don't understand what's going on and your house is just kind of going back and forth till it collapses.
Yeah, just swaying back and forth. And, you know, if your faith is, and really, you know, that's what we're talking about here, is if our faith is built on sand and not really on the words that Jesus taught, we don't have the foundation that he placed there for us.
Right.
Because he's the Word made flesh, the eternal Word made flesh.
Mm-hmm.
God's word doesn't change. God's commandments don't change.
Exactly.
And we'd like to change them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you mean 10? What about 3? Come on. Isn't 3 enough?
4 of them are totally unreasonable, you know. And the other 4, I don't know.
Well, maybe 5, but 10? God, that's really hard.
And let's forget about the 613 laws.
Yeah. About 2.
That's out of control. Yeah, Adam and Eve had one and they couldn't manage.
So, you know, if we can't manage one, we're not going to manage all those. But we come to that place of, you know, as we said last week, we face trials and we face tribulations in life. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about these things because we do face these things.
Yes.
And because they do affect us. And in turn, it affects our faith life.
Exactly.
You know, it's like when somebody follows a pastor around or an evangelist around or a mm-hmm. priest around. And they go, oh, I just love that person. You know, mm-hmm. love what they teach. Are we placing our hope in the words that they're teaching, that they are the words of Christ?
Mm.
Or are they the words of the gospel plus a few other ones?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when something happens to that person, if they fall, then the people that follow that person, a lot of times you see their lives, they take a big hit.
Exactly.
Emotionally, psychologically, relationally, there's turmoil and there's a struggle because I believed in that person. Well, we're to believe in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't put your faith in Phil and Steve, you know.
But do listen to the show.
But do listen to the show. But do listen to the show, please. You know, but we're human beings. You know, there's days we're not going to live up to everything that we should live up to mm-hmm. as disciples of the Lord.
Exactly.
Because we're human.
Yes.
And it doesn't give us the license to go out and do stupid things and, you know, just live our lives any way we want to. And there's a difference in that, but it can greatly affect people in their faith and in their walk with the Lord because they place a lot of trust in that person who's given the message.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly God is using
yes.
us and other people yes. to give that message.
Yeah.
So we are held, you know,
yeah.
more is expected of us
sure.
because of what we've been given.
Sure.
And Jesus says that.
Yeah. And in the book of James, it says that. If you want to be a teacher,
yeah.
you're held to a higher account.
Right.
Because what you teach somebody is going to be, you know, is important.
Right.
Because like you say, you have a false teacher that's someplace where there's thousands of people listening and hundreds or thousands of people get led astray by what he says.
Mm-hmm.
He has to answer for that.
Yeah.
In a much bigger way than if, you know, somebody who's not a teacher and just believes false things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is all part of being on the sand. You know, the false theology can look good. Boy, false theology makes a lot of sense in human terms. I mean, it really does because it fits into like when we're talking about being on the broad road to destruction is kind of fun.
Right.
Because we have a lot of company. You know, Jesus said there's many people on it. So there's mm-hmm. a lot of company. The people that are on it are kind of fun. You know, it's you don't know where you're going. You don't see the end of it that is going to go to destruction. But you say, this is kind of a nice road. Yeah. I can do my own thing.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do my own thing.
Right.
The people on the narrow road are striving, but they see where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
They see what's at the end.
Right.
They see heaven. They see the rest. You know, that the, we talked about how that corresponds to the Sabbath and to the people in the wilderness heading for the land. You know, we're in the wilderness, but we're heading to heaven along that narrow road.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, you strive along the narrow road.
Right.
It's not always easy.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you got to stay on it.
That's right. You got to stay on it. And the false theologies, though, when the judgment comes, are going to be exposed for what they are. And that's not going to be good for the teachers. And, you know, we're not going to, you know, I don't want to go off on a tangent and talk about different teachers. But when, you know, when you realize at the end that, oh, this wasn't true what I thought. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be good.
Right.
And it's a, ultimately it's going to be, everything's going to be ultimately tested.
Right.
You know, it says in, I can't remember now offhand where it is, First Peter, about everything's going to be tested. It's either going to be gold and precious stones, or it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble.
Well, you know, where you referenced 1 Corinthians 3, and if I'm going to read a little bit further here, and this is in and it starts at verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Yeshua, the Messiah, Christ Jesus the Lord. Some will use gold, silver, or precious stones in building on this foundation, while others will use wood, grass, or straw.
Oh, there it is.
But each one's work will be shown for what it is. The day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by mm-hmm. fire.
Yes.
The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If the work someone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If it is burned up, he will have to bear the loss. He will still escape with his life, but it will be like escaping through a fire.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a fire and you've escaped. You obviously have a whole different perspective on the gift of life.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be a very frightening and harrowing experience.
Yeah.
Because not everybody that is, you know, in a fire usually escapes.
Yeah.
And this is what, there's great loss in that fire, but, mm-hmm. you know, fire also purifies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Fire will also purify.
Gets rid of impurity.
It gets rid of impurities. If you, you know, if you purify gold,
mm-hmm.
it's really translucent.
Yes. And you burn the impurities away.
Burn the impurities away. It's not solid like right. we see it.
Right. But if your stuff is wood, hay, and stubble, and the fire comes in, mm-hmm. nothing's left.
Right.
Except ashes.
If you build on stone, a solid mm-hmm. stone, fire's not going to destroy that stone.
That's right.
That exactly. stone will remain.
So that your works are going to ultimately be tested.
Mm-hmm.
And your profession of faith is ultimately going to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, I don't believe in gravity. But if you jump off of your house, you're going to fall to the ground, whether you believe in it or not.
That is true.
So you're going to see that gravity is true, whether you think it's true or not.
Right.
Yeah. And it's the
That's
same
a good
with
example.
Yeah. And it's the same with these things. People say, well, you know, the God I believe in would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Say, well, we know from the scriptures that God does do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you believe it or not, you will eventually find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't want to find out when it's too late.
No, you don't. You want to find out. I mean, you really, well,
yeah, and
you
it's
want
not,
to find out beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not a question of if everybody's going to find out what the truth really is. It's a question of when.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Jesus comes back, it says every eye is going to see him. It's going to be, you know, it's not Jesus in the manger. It's not the cute little Christmas story. He comes with fire in his eyes, a sword coming out of his mouth, and an iron rod in his hand. And everybody's going to see that.
He's coming to judge the nations.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not a question of, oh, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. It's a question of when it's going to happen, whether it's going to be tonight, whether it's going to be a year from today, whether it's going to be 50 years from today, whether it's going to be 100 years from next week, but it is going to happen at some point. And
yeah.
he's the rock, and we talked about, and he's the anchor of these things.
Right. You know, I mean, if the first time Jesus came in the stable was to open the way to God's mercy and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes again, he is coming as a just judge.
Yes.
And that time of passing through God's mercy, that door will close,
mm-hmm.
and you will have to pass through God's justice.
Yes.
And it's much, much better to pass through God's mercy
yes.
than it is through God's justice.
That's right.
Because you're not going to pass through it.
That's right.
Exactly you're
right.
Condemned.
Exactly right. And because both of these general things are seen in the prophecies about Messiah, there were many rabbis that taught there actually would be two messiahs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first messiah would be the suffering servant. Mm-hmm. The second messiah would be the judge and the king and the ruler.
Right.
Well, they got it wrong in the sense of they didn't realize it was the same,
the same one
person.
Yeah.
Just separated by some time.
Right.
But the two ideas are exactly what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody likes to see little baby Jesus in a manger, and everybody likes to see the Christmas story and says, oh, this is so cute.
Yeah.
But then when he grows up and says, no one comes to the Father but by me, and I am going to do this sacrifice so that you can be saved, then we say, well, we don't want to hear about that kind of stuff. Can we talk about how what a nice guy he was and how he was good to everybody and how he talked to criminals and how he was a good teacher? Can we talk about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those things are important, but you don't have the full, you know, it's not just about words. There's a truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth has to be grasped or else you're not built on the rock.
Yeah. Yeah. And the speaking the truth is always something that is necessary.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But it, you know, somebody that truly knows that you are looking out for their best interest mm-hmm. will appreciate when you speak to them honestly
mm-hmm.
and in truth.
Yes, exactly.
Somebody that quite frankly doesn't respect you, even if you point out the truth to them, you know, they'll just disregard it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to me that way. Who are you to tell me that?
Right. That's what you believe.
That's what you believe. Don't impose that mm-hmm. superstitious beliefs on me or that narrow-minded stuff on me. And even though we come from a place of having lived in the world, we still do live in the world, but mm-hmm. having lived in the world and been a part of all those things that were leading us on a path of destruction,
mm-hmm.
and we've turned away from those things,
mm-hmm.
we share that with somebody, the person that's still on that path, that broad road, doesn't always tend to see it very quickly.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's walking with that person. It's taking, you know, it's like the story in where Jesus is there in the one community and that, you know, there's the herd of the pig farmers, obviously mm-hmm. wasn't a Jewish community, it's a Gentile community. So they have this, you know, this herd of swine and, you know, there's this man walking around by the graveyard and he has this demon that's in him and his name is Legion. And, you know, they start talking to Jesus saying, hey, what are you going to do with us? We know who you are.
And Jesus says,
quiet, come out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let us go into the swine. So Jesus says, okay. And he goes into the 2,000 swine
mm-hmm.
and then they go over this cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the pig farmer is not too happy because his whole economy just got there in the, you know, there in the sea. But the guy who was out of his mind is now sound of mind. His mm-hmm. his mind is now sound
mm-hmm.
and he was restored. He was healed.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus brings the light of life into this dark place.
Exactly.
And we too have to bring the light of Christ mm-hmm. into the dark areas mm-hmm. of our world and be willing to speak that truth and proclaim the truth
mm-hmm.
and, you know, not be afraid because Jesus went there without any fear.
Yeah. Amen. Wow, that's awesome. Speaking of awesome, here comes Paul over again. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb, wisdom, honor, and the power. Amen. The Spirit and the bride say, come, come to the Lamb. The living water and the risen Son. Who was and is to come. Let every tribe and every tongue
to you're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song, too. Now, this passage we just went through from Matthew chapter 7, we should point out, also has a parallel passage in Luke 6:46. And it's interesting that when Jesus talks about how the house on the shifting sand is destroyed when the storm comes, he talks about how it's ruined, how the ruin of the house is great, because when you don't have that firm foundation on the rock and you have this whole house or the whole system or your whole life built on shifting sand, when the wind blows and the water comes, your house can suddenly be ruined, where the house on the rock isn't ruined. So then that leads us to another very important application of this, which is, so where are we today? Where's the foundation that most people have been built today? Because the message of the gospel has been really weakened. In fact, it's been changed. And you might recall, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, that we did a series of shows, I don't know, sometime earlier this year or the end of last year, that were basically about how the gospel has been changed into a everybody be nice, everybody tolerate everything, everybody be good to everybody kind of a thing, where the whole gospel has been kind of watered down. And then you add to that the influence of the modern society that says, well, you believe this, I believe that, I think we're both right. He believes this other thing and she believes this other thing, and I think we're all for right. So believing or not believing, doing, not doing, it's all become kind of fuzzy. So, you know, there's people building their houses on all kinds of different shifting sand.
There are. And as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about where Paul says, you know, we have to act at our level of maturity,
mm-hmm.
where we're at in our faith life. And, you know, Paul taught from a point of not only knowledge of the scriptures, of the Hebrew scriptures, of the Old Testament, mm-hmm. and the Torah, but also knowledge of Christ.
Yeah.
Because he had an encounter with Christ.
Yeah.
A very profound encounter with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the gospel is just, you know, infused into him.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you read the letters that Paul wrote, how do you interpret those? How do you understand those if you thus don't have the foundation that he had?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Good you point. Know, that's awesome.
Do you study the Torah to understand mm-hmm. where Paul's coming from?
Yes.
Do you understand the law and understand, you know, the types and shadows as you point out many times? Do you understand that point of reference? Because it's very easy to misunderstand Paul's writings
mm-hmm.
and take them for something that they're not meant to be,
mm-hmm.
you know. And thus, an immature Christian, one who is still a babe, a child,
mm-hmm.
can in fact teach something in error because they don't have a full understanding of a subject matter that they probably shouldn't be teaching upon sometimes.
Exactly.
You know. And God uses us where we're at. God will use us where we're at. But when we step beyond where we're at and try to do something on our own, we usually get into trouble with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to be disciples of the Lord, we need to follow that and emulate that. Because,
yeah.
you know, Jesus says, no student is greater than his teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not, you know, we're not the master. He is.
Right.
And we have, if, you know, if we're going to be a good disciple of the Lord, we follow that
mm-hmm.
and do what God's telling us to do. Hear what God's hearing. You know, we hear, like you said, one ear mm-hmm. listening to what God is saying
mm-hmm.
and the other ear listening to what that person is saying if you're praying over someone. But if when you're teaching, you've got to hear what the Lord is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to know God's word to know that it lines up with
yes.
what you're getting.
That's right.
Because, you know, anybody who is a believer and says, Lord, I'm going to follow you. you just put a bullseye on yourself for the devil, and he's going to try and take you out. And if you don't, and if you don't think that he's going to try and sift you like wheat, you're fooling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He'll try and get you off kilter. He'll try and get you off track. He will try and get you to say things that are not true. And that is, you know, as we just said, you know, if you're a teacher, you're held to a higher standard, mm-hmm. to a higher degree.
Exactly.
Because those whom you are talking to, you have influence on their life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And if you teach them astray, I'm accountable.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul talks about believers who are on milk, and then after a while they're supposed to be on meat. So, you know, while you're still on milk, you know, he makes the example just like a human. You know, you can't give a two-month-old baby a steak and a baked potato because they can't handle that. Right. They can only live on milk.
Right.
But then as you mature, all the other foods are added till finally you can eat meat and potatoes and vegetables. But if you're a 10-year-old and you're just living on milk, that's abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
You've not matured. And he talks about how, you know, gee, when I was here last time, you guys were on milk, and I went away for a while. I came back. You guys are still on milk. You're supposed to be advancing.
Yeah.
And
they weren't.
And they weren't. And when you're on the milk, you know, when things happen, you know, all of a sudden people may say, well, you know, this thing that's happening now is pretty hard on me. You know, I'm trying to be in the faith, but it's become kind of hard now. It's too costly. It's too difficult. So maybe I'll step back.
Right.
Whereas if you're on the meat and you got your house going up on the rock, you know, things are happening, but you don't say, well, gee, you know, now this happened. I don't think I'm going to be a Christian anymore. I think I'm going to go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that wouldn't even cross your mind.
Right.
Because you're built on the rock.
And I think, you know, to speak honestly with people, there's been days where, you know, I sometimes think, man, this is, what did I do to deserve this?
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, it's in retrospect of having a lot of things happening all at once where you step back and you go, wow, this is more than, you know, this is more than what I could probably, I don't want to say handle, but process through without the help of God's wisdom.
Yes.
And, you know, you learn to turn to the Lord and ask in humility, God, I need your help with this. Mm-hmm. I need wisdom because how do I deal with this situation? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is a test.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to turn back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need help with this
mm-hmm.
because I can't do this on my own. And when I do that, I usually see things turn a little bit where I see that it's not so much the situation that's at hand, but is it as much as it is, am I willing to stay there because God's called me to be there and persevere through the situation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, these, you know, the things that we're talking about, hopefully if you're in a situation where you are struggling with the situation and your faith and asking God, why am I enduring this? What is this all about? Hopefully some of this is going to help you through that, where you can turn and ask God for wisdom, you know, because scripture tells us, you know, if anyone's without wisdom, ask him and he will give it.
Exactly.
He will give it in abundance.
And I think you bring up a good point, because even when you're a mature believer, you've been studying, you've been doing for quite a while, things happen where you say, well, I can't believe this has happened. I
mean, right.
We don't want to give you the, you know, we don't want to give you the impression that, oh, once your house built on the rock, then it's going to be easy to withstand whatever happens.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still going to be things that are going to shake you up.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be illnesses, and there's going to be trials, and there's going to be loss of whatever. And, you know, these aren't things that are not easy to deal with
mm-hmm.
in your humanity.
Right.
But if you're putting your hope in stuff that's shifting around, it's way, way worse than if your hope is on the rock.
Exactly. Exactly.
And as we said before, you know, it's the way Jesus teaches this. It's so interesting that 2,000 years later, it's still applicable to our lives that we're sitting in Northern Ohio, and it's just as applicable to us as it was to these people who were in Galilee, you know, 2,000 years ago. And people that were listening to him kind of pick up on this, and they know that this is something extraordinary, because it says they marveled at his authority.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, they heard people teach, you know, they went to synagogues and they heard rabbis teaching, they heard teachers teaching, and, mm-hmm. you know, they heard Pharisees out saying stuff, and they heard, you know, they say, but wait a minute, this guy, he doesn't preach like those guys.
Right.
This guy's got authority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could see that they were conscious of his divine authority.
Yeah.
He wasn't teaching from a human level.
Yeah, where did he get this from?
Where did he get this from? You know, another point, they say, well, geez, we know his father and mother. Like, where did he get this? And and you can't blame them.
Right.
Because he had been there growing up with them. I mean, right. They knew where he lived.
Mm-hmm.
They said, oh, yeah, little Jesus, he lives on the street over there.
Yeah.
We know his father and mother.
Yeah.
I mean, this would have been a normal thing to say.
Right.
Like, how did he do all that? And you know, he didn't need to listen to human teachers to learn any of this stuff. And, you know, he didn't say, well, just a second, I'm going to go back to my house and read this commentary I have. Then mm-hmm. I'll be back and tell you guys what I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll read a couple of commentaries and I'll be right back.
Right.
I got to read what the rabbis said about this last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was teaching with divine authority.
Yeah.
He was the living word.
Mm-hmm.
And he certainly knew the written word, and he knew, but this authority, people were impacted by it, and they could see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And on a much lesser level, you can see if you're sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing, and you hear two different teachers teaching something differently, you kind of know in your gut which one is teaching right.
Yeah.
And which one is not. And they were at this point, they could see that he had an authority that wasn't like the people they were used to hearing.
Yeah. You know, if we read on further in 1 Corinthians 3 at 18 and through like 20, I think 23 or 24, he says, stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, You need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scripture says, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. Mm. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are worthless. So don't boast about following a particular human leader, for everything belongs to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter, or the world or life and death, or the present and the future. Everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. And in the first part of 4, he says, so look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I am right. It is the Lord himself who will examine me and decide.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, Paul's placing himself before the Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
And saying, doesn't matter what you think of me.
Right.
I'm going to place myself before the Lord and let him examine me.
That's right.
And if there's anything wrong in me, he will reveal it to me. Mm-hmm. He will show me.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a great amount of humility. And it's a place where everyone who is in any type of ministry needs to go, whether you're a leader, you know, of a church, of a small congregation, a small flock,
mm-hmm.
even your own marriage,
mm-hmm.
because you and your spouse are responsible for each other. You know, that covenant of marriage is the nucleus of our culture because it's the family.
Mm-hmm.
And when that deteriorates, a lot of other things go with it.
Yeah.
You know, and so as
we've seen happen as in we've our seen, culture.
Yeah, as we've seen happen. And as husbands and wives, you know, a lot of people don't really understand the covenant of marriage as a sacred bond, a sworn oath before God.
Mm-hmm.
And staying in that sworn oath and letting the Lord examine their heart and forming them to be the best husband, to be the best wife that they can be for each other and for their children and for their family.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot there.
That goes along with what is the foundation today.
Right.
I mean, everything in the marriage, the divorce rate and the fact of all these broken homes and all these children growing up without a male, without a mm-hmm. father around. I mean, a father who, you know, people were taught, oh, well, who cares about men? You don't need men. You know,
yeah.
Women are pretty capable of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But now we realize you do need it. Well, big surprise, because Adam and Eve had children, and Adam and Eve were both there raising them.
Right.
They're what we see the foundation that's gone now, and what it's done to more than a generation of children.
Right.
And yeah. it's the evidence of that is all around us, and so the foundation where we live today has been so weakened that there's fewer and fewer people that are building their house on rock because right. sometimes the shifting sand looks like the easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Or the good thing to do at that time. That, ooh, this is good.
Mm.
It's one of my favorites. Anyway, we only have one segment left. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
That is. That's one of my favorite songs.
Someday we should do 18 shows from the Son of Songs.
we can play that during every break.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the Song of Songs hasn't led to people writing more songs like that. But anyway. Wow. So these have been hard things. We got one more hard passage to read, but I think we should do that for the next show because it's another kind of intense thing about hating your father and your mother. And, you know, if you want to be my disciple, here's the deal. And people always, you can always see people sitting in the pews going, what?
what are they talking about?
Yeah, this is horrible. I mean, you see some little kid going, I don't want to hate my father or my mother. So I don't think we should do that in, you know, seven or eight
minutes. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, so we went through this whole big thing about, you know, people not getting in through the door, the Lord, people walking on the narrow gate, people on the broad road to destruction. I mean, these are all very illustrative things, very powerful teachings about what is discipleship, you know, and it puts us into a position of, you know, what is true evangelization? How do you explain this to people? Mm-hmm. You know, when someone doesn't have that foundation and you approach them to tell them what your foundation is, you know, how do you do that?
Right.
Well, it sure seems to be important.
Yeah.
But you don't go to somebody and say, dude, you should have built your house on the rock. And he has like no clue what you're talking about. Yeah. And, you know, we've seen, you know, we're not going to talk about how old we are, but Steve's, you know, quite a bit younger than I am. And but anybody who's more than about age 45 or so has seen the difference that there is now in our culture compared mm-hmm. to years ago, yeah. where those the people now that you encounter that are in their 20s and 30s have been raised in a totally different way. Mm, they don't have that foundation of the Judeo-Christian morality and the Christian thinking.
Right.
And these are people that we have to reach with evangelization. These mm-hmm. are people that we want to make disciples.
Right.
And, you know, the question is, how do you do that? They've been taught that Jesus was a good teacher, that he came so he could help the poor, which he did. And that's true. Mm-hmm. You know, they've seen people take the gospel and kind of mold it into fit whatever their political beliefs are, their mm-hmm. economic beliefs are.
Right.
I mean, whatever right. their view of life is, they've twisted the gospel around to fit that. So you have the prosperity gospel. So just tell God what kind of Mercedes you want. Tell him what color interior you want. What kind of extras you want,
right.
you know, whether you want this or that or the other thing in it. And boy, it's certainly going to be there.
Yep. Write a big check and it'll be there.
Yeah. And these are other examples of how the gospel's been diluted. You know, these things empty the cross of its power because it takes attention away from what the center is.
Well, you know, really what it says is if you give this, you're mm-hmm. going to get something back in return.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, there's no guarantee of that.
That's right.
You know, Jesus says you're going to be an unprofitable servant. Mm-hmm. You're only doing what your master asked mm-hmm. you to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's talking about how you have to strive mm-hmm. to enter through the narrow gate. You have to strive. You know, the narrow road to salvation, although it's sure and the hope is sure and you know where the end is going to be, that road goes through the cross. It goes through Calvary. And it is the firm foundation on the rock, but you have to strive along that road. And the anything that takes attention away from the center and puts human outlook into things and human weaknesses into things mm-hmm. takes you away from the center, which is the cross.
Yeah.
And we've seen that even in the church.
Yes.
You know, people, you know, are more concerned about do you buy the coffee that comes from this place in El Salvador? Because if you buy the coffee that doesn't come from there, you're not doing what Jesus wants you to do.
Yeah.
And then you have the other outfit, you know, the other stream of thought, which is, well, God is basically an American conservative Republican. And so in order to follow God, you have to believe the following things from the Constitution.
Yes.
and you know, all these things get jumbled into the, quote, gospel, unquote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we politicize it.
Yes.
And we make it into something that God never intended it to be.
Yes.
You know, and as you say that, you know, when we go back to the main message of the gospel, what does Jesus say about his disciples? These are signs that will accompany believers
mm-hmm.
of mine.
Mm-hmm.
They'll raise the dead. They'll heal the sick. They'll mm-hmm. give sight to the blind.
Mm-hmm.
They'll set captives free. You know, certainly helping the less fortunate is a good thing to do. But
sure, and we're commanded to do that.
And we're commanded to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the blood of Jesus, his death and resurrection, that gives us the gift of eternal life.
Right. It's not about words. It's not about eloquence, as Paul said.
Yeah. It's
not about your debating skills. It's the power of the message. The cross is the message, and it has its own power.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because he draws all men to himself as he's raised up from the earth.
Wow. We were just getting on a roll. Anyway. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. We'll be back next week.
And we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would enlighten your hearts and your minds in the gift of salvation that is through Christ Jesus our Lord. Have an awesome week, everyone. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.